Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky on the old hotline. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Sorry I'm a little late getting to you, but I'm glad we caught up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty busy week.
It's been a very busy week, and appropriately so.
Let's see. Let's start with the bills that passed Wednesday, the voter ID bills, voter suppression, whatever you want to call them.
Well, I hope you're not calling them voter suppression, but I'm very aware others are doing so completely and inappropriately, but that's for them to deal with, not me. Their polls are very clear that, you know, in every demographic across this nation, every demographic, it's a minimum of a 71% support that, you know, to ensure that people have confidence in future elections, that voter ID is a key part of that. And when we first introduced this concept a few short weeks ago, we got a little bit of pushback. And the primary argument was, well, not everybody can get an ID. And so I kind of thought for a moment, well, why don't we solve that problem? And that's also what we're attacking and what we're demonstrating this week is we introduced a number of bills that basically eliminate all the obstacles that have been identified to us so far, prohibiting people from having a state-issued, government-issued ID. I don't know how you can actually get along in life today without a identification. And, you know, you and I can't even go buy a beer without showing our identification. So why wouldn't we want the highest and most precious privilege that we all enjoy as a right as a citizen of this beautiful state and nation to not also accompany that with a need to prove that we are who we are?
Mike, what do you say when in 2018 Michigan voters approved the proposal for expanded access to absentee voting? Isn't this going directly in the face, really, of the voters?
No, not at all. What the voters did is said that people could vote without absentee without a particular reason, which I have been in support of for a long time. It made no sense to me that certain aspects of the population could qualify for an absentee ballot. And frankly, some people just made up excuses so they could get one. And I was fully in support of providing that. But we have to also accompany it with other protections to ensure that that process, which by definition opens up lots of vulnerabilities, that we close those vulnerabilities and address them so that people know that their vote is protected by the security of a state ID, and they have then, therefore, once within in possession of such an ID, have open access to all the services that we all expect to get on a day-to-day basis, for heaven's sakes. It's difficult. You can't even get a fishing license anymore without showing an ID, so it seems to me it's only reasonable that that level of testing and checking should apply to something as precious as voting. I categorically reject, Greg, all the claims of suppression, et cetera. And I just call upon people to help us identify, if we've missed anything, those obstacles prohibiting people from getting an ID so they can get on with life.
Do you reject the that there was what do you believe there was any fraud in the last election after, what was it, 250 different audits?
I don't think there was any more fraud and any more mistakes made in this last election than have been in previous elections.
Mm-hmm.
This is right now, this is in response to a very palpable concern of people in Michigan wondering whether future elections are safe. And so this is one of the things that we've identified based on hundreds of hours of testimony in our Elections Oversight Committee. And this is one of the top things that people expect is, please make sure my vote counts. And this is one of the ways that we've determined through analysis that helps us close any of those vulnerabilities that are associated with a proper increase in access of use of absentee ballots.
Okay, the other big issue this week is this $300 weekly federal unemployment payment. And the House voted 60 to 49. I believe that was strictly a party line vote to cut those. I think even the governor said she wanted to cut them out, but she has kind of backpedaled on that, I guess.
Well, I'm not going to characterize it as a backpedaling, but I am going to question whether a commitment to a statement such as that. There's more than, I think, about two dozen other states, it may be greater now than two dozen, that have, the governors have taken the courageous action to say, you know what, this is really interrupting with the natural flow of our labor sector and really throwing in unnecessary and harmful impacts, particularly on small businesses. And so the governors have the prerogative and should, at this time, lift that and basically say, tell the federal government we're not going to receive that anymore. So you can't say on one hand that you recognize it's a problem, on the other hand, unwilling to do so. Now, this is one of those unique situations where a governor, frankly, has all the power to make that move, yet our governor hasn't. And there is no question it's having a dramatic effect on the availability of labor, in particularly in our state and in our nation. And by the way, people should recognize that we are on a downward slope, a declining availability of labor in this nation because of demographics. And so any government action that exacerbates that is unnecessary and frankly destructive. And so there was a time when people weren't allowed to go to work, which is another topic altogether.
Right.
That the government had a responsibility to fill that gap, but that's no longer the case. And we have more than a million job openings in this state and 800 and some thousand people in unemployment. You cannot tell me that there isn't a significant percentage of those 800,000 that couldn't match up for the skill sets required for a good percentage of those 1 million openings. But for they make the personal financial decision that it's better to just to stay home. I am not in any way challenging that calculus for a person or a family. That's just financial financial sense.
Well, but I guess the governor's idea.
Created by the governor.
I guess the governor's idea was to take the money and give a bonus to people that are going back to their jobs. Is that a good idea or no?
Well, now listen to this. You know, Uncle Fred and Aunt Betty, if you just ask them this question, and Uncle Fred and Aunt Betty, you know, do you think we should pay people to stay home? And then after a fashion, then pay them to go back to work. It just doesn't pass the smell test. Stop. By the way, we offered the governor a middle ground here on stepping down the 300. So first week is 300, the next week's 250, then 200, then 150, then 100, then 50. Mm-hmm. So it accelerates the decision process for those who are receiving it, that they better start getting out there and looking for a job that they can fill. And she rejected that as well. I call that a soft landing on something that's an action that should take place. And that was not accepted either.
Okay, all the orders are being shut down June 22nd. Is that soon enough for you?
Well, I just wish we could have an honest conversation and, frankly, public debate on the science behind all these decisions. You know, first it was back to normal. Then there was a very clear evidence that we're never going to reach those numbers, and so they changed the goalpost there and moved it, going to lift the orders in July 1st. I sent a letter with a lot of research directly to Dr. Khaldun indicating that there's no reason to wait. We have well exceeded every medical and scientific definition of herd immunity in the state 3 months ago. Please go advise the director of the department and the governor to open up now. I never got a response to that, despite the fact that it was a test to it was a lot of research, so scientific research. And now we're arbitrarily saying, well, let's make it next Tuesday or Monday, whatever the day it is. The arbitrariness of these decisions never ceases to amaze me. If, in fact, what the governor stated yesterday is true, which I believe it is and has been the fact for at least 3 months, then why not do it immediately and just simply tell people, make the adjustments as efficiently as you can. So if a business wants to take a couple more days before they change the orders and the signs on the front of their doors, that's fine. But I don't buy into this. Somehow there's a science behind a date on a calendar. I don't think this virus has a calendar. I don't think this virus has a stopwatch. I don't think this virus has a GPS system so it knows whether to go across a county or state border. Now, all the orders that we've received since the very first one, which is you can ride in a boat as long as it doesn't have a motor, have been confusing for people, and they continue to be confusing. Having said all that, I am grateful that we're finally getting to a point where we're lifting all the restrictions on people and letting them go back and do what we should have done in the very first place. Inform them of what they need to do, inspire them to take action to protect themselves and their families, encourage them to do so, and then trust. And now we're finally getting around to the trust.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, stay out of the rain, Mike.
You bet, brother. Have a great week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.